Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fellas.
Crank me up in the
get
head.
Get it going. Let's get it going.
They're not ready.
We'll
y'all
hit a panic
ready.
In that
y'all
thing.
Y'all not ready. Y'all not ready.
Y'all
not ready.
Y'all not ready.
I just like to go sometimes. I'll let it run for a little while. Now I got to tell you guys, if you're watching at home, it does take a little. There's a little lag time with me trying to like cut it off too, man. But other than that, that's just kind of technicality of Blog Talk. But hey, it's all good. Welcome, of course, America, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are officially ready to get this party started. Today is Tuesday the 13th. Got both of my co-hosts in the building. They're not getting fired for getting drunk on the job, so we always do. But as always, let's check in with both of them. First and foremost, got to check with Mr. JQ. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, like I said before we got on, my Bengals found the way to win a game they normally lose. That's a fantastic feeling. I'm still riding off that.
Love it. And, of course, got to check in with Mr. T. Rob. Mr. Rob, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Been traveling all day, but things are great.
Okay, all right. Appreciate you jumping on board, Rob. I know sometimes you're getting a little crazy busy like everybody. So let's go ahead and get this party started. Let's set the stage for tonight. Got a lot of things to discuss. As always, America, if you want to call in, 424-243-9519. We are also on Twitter. If you go to the number 12, THMAN Sports, you will find us in that space. And also, we are on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/talkingsports with 12 men. Fellas, I apologize. My voice may be a little off, man. I was yelling on Sunday, and then also because doing some wedding stuff, man. So it's a little crazy. So I'll be able to get through this. But we got a lot of topics to discuss. First and foremost, say it ain't so, guys.
We going to
take
from the poll, Rob.
Holding a conversation. Guys, Steve Spurrier retires, man. This is pretty big news. And we're going to talk about that South Carolina job. That's a good job. So, Rob, what are your thoughts about this, man? This is pretty abrupt, man. So what are your thoughts about this and, you know, any details as far as that as well?
Well, obviously, Spurrier is 70 years old. I'm a little shocked that it happened in the middle of the season. I mean, obviously, you knew it was coming very soon. Whether it be at the end of this season, into next season, you know, still a little surprised how abruptly it happened and, you know, what happened in the middle of the season. But, you know, just going over the history of Steve Spurrier as a coach, you have to be pretty impressed. I mean, he won an ACC title at Duke of all places. And we're talking about an ACC title in football at Duke, not basketball. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive, first and foremost. And you got to go back to the fun and gun days at Florida. Well, I mean, where, you know, he just pretty much told his opponents, we were going to put up a half a hundred on you. And, you know, and yeah, and did it. He told you what they were going to do, and they did it. They were fun to watch. And, I mean, he had a pretty good program going there for about 10 to 12 years during that time in Florida, obviously winning the national championship even at Florida. Obviously, things didn't go so well with the Redskins when he was head coach there. And I remember this line he said when he was with the Redskins. He was like, you know, we're 5-11. We're not the worst team, but we're close to it. And I remember that line when he said with the Redskins. But obviously things didn't go well there. And you got to think about where the South Carolina program was prior to him getting there. I mean, Lou Holtz had a little bit of success, not a lot of success with that program even when he was there. Spurrier had three straight seasons with double-digit victories at South Carolina. That was unheard of. I mean, this program went 100 years before winning the bowl game. And so even in 11 years, obviously he didn't have a national title like he had at Florida. But, you know, obviously to where the South Carolina program was prior to him getting there, what he did with that program was pretty impressive. And, you know, another thing he was able to do at South Carolina, he was able to keep local talent there, Marcus Lattimore, Jadeveon Clowney. And prior to Steve Spurrier's arrival at South Carolina, these players were going elsewhere. Tennessee was coming into South Carolina getting players. Georgia was coming into South Carolina getting players. Virginia Tech, schools like that were coming into South Carolina and getting players. And Spurrier actually, you know, kept the best players in state there in South Carolina. So if you just look at his history itself, you know, you're going to miss the one-liners. And obviously you got to give him credit for the coaching job he did just about everywhere he's gone, except the Redskins.
Man, thank you for that quick synopsis about that too, Rob. And I guess, JQ, we thought it was because of the fact that LSU beat up on South Carolina. But any thoughts about Steve Spurrier resigning and everything like that affect, sir?
I was going to say, yeah, Rob went ahead and gave us the whole wrote his Wikipedia page, so I don't have too much more to add to that. another one you said there are no Vanderbilts in the NFL. I remember that one, too, when he was a threat chance.
Yeah.
That Rob said is absolutely spot on. And my only disappointment with him is he quit on that team. You six games in, you know, mm-hmm. the SEC East is no longer a viable option for you. He quit. And he can say whatever he wants to say, but he quit. And to have it end like that when you quit in the middle of the season after you just went into these guys' home and recruited them in the last year or 2 years, that's the piece I have a problem with. I know South Carolina's probably like, well, if you don't want to be here, bye. It helps us move on faster. And it gets, you know, we get to the head of the line of trying to pick a coach where they thought they were until USC, the other USC. But I mean, it kind of puts a, you know, taints it a little bit at the end. I mean, but the breadth of his career has been outstanding, and I love how honest he always was, and then give you all that tired coach speak. So, you know, I think the game is gone missing, but I just wish he had went out on a better note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good call, JQ. I mean, we all made good points as far as the fact that he made like a lot of. I mean, this guy was great for the game because, you know, he'd always throw jabs and shots at teams and, you know, not only for the Redskins, but just for everyone. So you're going to miss him. And I'm going to forget the fact that he talked about missing comic books for Alabama. I mean, he was classic, man. There were so many different quotes, man, that he had, man, just about the playbooks and coloring books. And just a great guy, man. So I'm going to miss that, you know, miss the visor. And like you said, JQ, yeah, he quit, man. And there's got to be some other things. Maybe it'll come out a little later on. As far as that, you know, in spite of what you thought, he was a great ambassador for the game, too. So that's my little cherry on top of everything as well. I guess another interesting move, not a resign, but an actual show in the door, Steve Sarkisian gets let go by USC. There were some thoughts that he was drinking on the job. So, Rob, what are your thoughts about USC? You don't have to write the Wikipedia page, Rob, but just what are your thoughts about this, sir?
Well, this is another mind-boggling story here. Obviously, there are some things going on personal with Sarkisian, and obviously you wish him the best. But obviously, being drunk, coaching on the sidelines is not a very good example. Mm-hmm. I know college students are technically adults, but still I don't think it's a good example. And, so I think USC hands were tied here. This was a decision that they had to make. And it's just mind-boggling what's been going on at USC the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, this is definitely one of the top five college football jobs in the country when you look at the talent base that's in their backyard. And this is a program that should be winning the Pac-10, or what is it, the Pac-12 now, I'm sorry, the Pac-12 on a regular basis. And I don't think there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to get a coach of a Nick Saban or Urban Meyer caliber. Not saying those two coaches should go to USC, but a coach on that caliber. And I mentioned on the show last week that I think Chip Kelly may go back to college next year. I think that should be the first guy USC gets on the phone with.
Robert made the prediction that, that Chip Kelly is not going to be coaching in the NFL next year. So we'll see if that stays true. But, JQ, what are your thoughts about USC's and their move? We'll talk about who should they hire in the future. I know Rob already put his thought as far as Chip Kelly, but what are your thoughts on this, JQ?
Say, let me buy you a drink. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, Steve, you can't be a practice.
Don't do that.
You can't
don't
be a practice drunk. You can't be a practice drunk. But, I mean, that's got to be rock bottom. And I was listening to the radio this morning, and they're coming out through his expense reports about how they went and bought, you know, 100 shots of Patron, and I think he went to the hotel and bought, like, a $200 bottle of champagne and, like, and like a 12 pack of beer. So you know he went by himself because you're not drinking that by yourself, because he's also going through a divorce. So he just has some things going on in his life, and I think that it's time for him to step away. And I don't think he would have done it without being pushed out the door. But the coaching at this point takes a back seat. He's got to get his life affairs in order first before he can even think about it. And I'm sure that one of his, you know, coaching tree people, like a Pete Carroll, may make him the quarterback's coach or something like that, you know, down the line when he's ready to get back in and see if he can, you know, kind of rebuild his image, kind of like what Lane Kiffin is doing at Alabama right now. But who USC should hire, for me, the point that Rob made is that there aren't really any Urban Meyers and Nick Saban's out there free. You know, can they get Les Miles from LSU? I doubt it. You know, Harbaugh's not going to leave Michigan at this point. I know what you said. I think Chip Kelly is not an NFL coach, what he wants to do, but I think it will work great in USC. And you got to remember, California was a big piece of his recruiting for Oregon anyway. And a dark horse candidate for me would be Todd Herman from Houston. I know I'm a homer, but he was the OC for Ohio State last year. You see the struggles they're having on offense without him. He's gone to Houston, and now he has Houston playing really good ball. He has the mindset and the coaching, I think, to be a sneaky hire for USC, but I don't know if they'll hire him because they need a very established, flashy coach after what they've been through here recently.
I'm going to throw out another name that I think USC is going to pick up the phone and call to right down the road from Houston, Kevin Sumlin at College Station, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a name that's going to be on the top of USC's list as well, as far as consideration is concerned, too.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know if he wants to leave the SEC. Yeah.
I was going to that's
a good point,
ahead,
but USC is still a top five job. It's a better job than Texas A&M when it comes to college football. And so I think Sumlin would definitely listen.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of those jobs that's just up there. I mean, you don't want to be like the number 20th SEC school whenever you're like the number, you know, five school, whatever. I mean, you know, that is a pretty big job, you know, so you're in the Pac-12, you're constantly, you know, you only got to battle Stanford, you know, pretty much, maybe Oregon every now and then, but you're kind of like pick of the litter, man. So he would turn that around. Pretty cool. Rob, any thoughts about Norm Schaller or anything like that? Is that kind of like a long shot, like a dark horse thing like that, sir, or what?
I don't think Norm Schaller is going to get a phone call in this situation. I think, you know, Schaller's still getting up there in age, too. You know, I think they're going to look for, you know, a young, hot coach. I mean, like I said, I think two names that's for sure, in my opinion, is going to get a call is Chip Kelly and Kevin Sumlin. I think they're going to be at the top two of USC's wish list.
Good calls. All right. So I love how Robert put this in the topics, and rightfully so. Leonard Fournette, man. So basically we're getting like he's getting a lot of love. I think right now he is a surefire top two Heisman, probably one of the choices here. I guess is he further along and further advanced in the stage than Herschel and Bo Jackson? That's pretty elite company. I'm going to say he's just below that, but I mean, he runs pretty hard like an Adrian Peterson type. So I think he, man, this is the guy that he can go to the NFL like now. But Rob, you've watched him a little closely. So what are your thoughts about this? Do you think he's a little bit more advanced in his career so far?
I think talent-wise, he's definitely on par. I mean, when you look at his size and you look at the speed, I mean, this guy outruns guys at that size, 6'1", 230. And you can see his game has even improved from his freshman to sophomore year. I think his vision, the way he's seeing holes and cutbacks and things of that nature is a lot better. And the only reason I would say his game is a little bit more advanced than Bo and Herschel at this stage, and it's nothing against Bo and Herschel. Now, you got to think about in the 80s, you know, the game was not as advanced as it is now. I mean, those guys just handed the ball off to Bo and Herschel. But now you got to be able to pass protect. You got to catch screen passes. You know, Herschel and Bo were next to do those kind of things in the 80s. So it's not, I think talent-wise, they're equal. But the only reason Fournette is a little bit more advanced because he's doing a little bit more. You know, he's catching screen passes. He's catching the ball out of the backfield. And also he's able to help in pass protection, doing a lot better job this year than he did last year in that area too. So those are just some areas, you know, that doesn't show up on the stat sheet that he's even improved his game in as well. So I would say he's slightly advanced just because of those things.
JQ, is Rob being a homer, Rob, or is he pretty accurate with the statement, JQ?
He's a little of both. I have a hard time putting anybody in that rarefied air of Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson. I mean, that's rarefied air to get to. Now, I did see that he's the fastest player in the SEC to rush for 1,000 yards in a single season. So that's pretty impressive. And I believe that Bo and Herschel both won Heisman as juniors, and he would win it as a sophomore. So, but before I can put him in that air, he's got to at least win the Heisman Trophy this year. He's got to win it this year. And I think he's the front runner, and he should win it.
Yeah.
But if he can get if he can get ahead of Bo and Herschel in terms of a year ahead winning the Heisman, with what I just said with that stat, and LSU plays in the playoffs, it's going to be hard to deny him. But I don't think he can do it off of one season, because he's going to have to come back next year and do it again, you know, pretty much to the same level for me to put him up there with Bo and Herschel. So I'm going to say he's close, but he's not quite there yet.
Man, JQ, you're pretty hard to please, man. All right, I guess it is. Okay, fair enough, man. We'll keep an eye on that as well. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's why I said, man, I think he's underneath that, man. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, Bo and Herschel, they're legends. So, you know, we'll have to see how Leonard Fournette continues his career. But, you know, right now there's a lot of backs, Rob, that have been like the second coming, man. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. But like I said, you know, right now, this guy is looking like he is doing something very special. All right, guys, let's kick it off and let's talk about some college football predictions here coming into week 7. We got about 14 minutes left. First and foremost, guys, we have USC, number 18, USC at number 15, Stanford. Rob, let's kick it off with you. What are your thoughts about this particular matchup?
Actually, it should be UCLA and Stanford. If I put USC, I apologize. but yeah, it's
UCLA at Stanford,
yeah.
Is that what you mean to put? Yeah, okay, my bad.
Yeah, UCLA at Stanford. I like Stanford. I think
that's what I said.
David
Shaw
has got them I thought it was my mistake. I didn't know what I typed. but yeah, I like the way Stanford has been playing here in the last few weeks. They're getting back to their physical brand of football. The offensive line is moving the ball at the line of scrimmage as well. And they're controlling the clock, and they're at home in this matchup here. And UCLA is dealing with some defensive injuries as well. And so I like Stanford at home in this game.
Go ahead, JQ, since apparently Dre's trying to make up for stuff here. Go ahead. So what do you think about this matchup?
I'm going to go with Stanford for all the reasons he just said. I think it's Stanford at home. I think it's close, so I'll go with the home team. I'll go with Stanford by a field goal.
I'm making sure I'm reading everything correct. Number 17, Iowa at number 20, Northwestern coming over. A nice upset last week. Rob, what's your thoughts about this one, sir?
I like Iowa on the road. You look at Kirk Ferentz's teams, there's another coach that, you know, believes that the game's going to be one of the trenches. He always has one of the better offensive lines. And almost the exact same reason why I think Stanford is going to win. They're going to control the line of scrimmage. And I like Iowa on the road. I think they're a very underrated team, too.
JQ?
I'm going to go with Northwestern. I know they looked bad, but I think they just ran into a buzzsaw that is Michigan right now that is playing ridiculous football under the radar. Iowa had a nice win last week, but I think Northwestern, I like Northwestern's defense as well. They play a very physical brand of keep you out of the end zone defense. So with that being said, two defensive-minded teams, low scoring, I take Northwestern at home.
Northwestern doing some things for sure. I love it. Let's talk about our
Stanford.
Next matchup here. Yeah, that's what we're just talking. That's a great upset win. Well, I don't know if it's upset. That's just well, we'll see. Great move, guys. Pretty big matchup. Number 10, Alabama at number 9, Texas A&M. Rob, we just talked about Kevin Sumlin. Is he making additions here? This is a great game. What do you think? Do you think? Texas A&M is going to have enough firepower to get Alabama?
I tell you what, this is the game I think has been the hardest for me to pick. I've been going back and forth on it for a couple of reasons. Like Georgia is a very one-dimensional team this year. Alabama will pretty much shut those teams down with their front seven if you're just going to run the ball. And but Texas A&M is a little bit different. They're going to be able to throw the ball on this Alabama team. And I'm going to go with, a slight upset here. I'm going to pick Texas A&M at home. Like I said, they're not a one-dimensional team like Georgia. And like I said, Alabama's front seven, which is pretty much stifle teams that are one-dimensional in that nature. And so I'm going to pick a slight upset here with Texas A&M. I think they're going to be able to outscore Alabama in this game.
JQ, your thoughts?
I think these are the games that Nick Saban and Alabama win. When we think that they have a deficiency here and there, we talk about the secondary, we talk about the quarterback, but they find a way to win these games, these high-profile games against another good team, especially in the SEC. And off that history alone, with the proof in the pudding, I'm going to go with Alabama. They have to win this game to have any shot at winning the SEC West with the way LSU is playing. I'm going to take Alabama.
Co-hosts are split. We'll see how that plays out. It's going to be a very interesting call next week. Rivalry. Number 7, Michigan State at number 12, Michigan. Michigan pretty much handled Northwestern. I think that they will probably be the same for Michigan State. Sorry to my Spartan fans out there. Rob, what are your thoughts on this particular matchup?
I think Michigan is just on a roll right now. They're at home in this game. It's a huge rivalry. I think they're on a roll. I mean, they're playing tremendous defense at this current stage. And I think, you know, I've got a chance to look at Michigan State a couple of times here in the last few weeks, and I think they've struggled in a couple of games where they shouldn't have struggled, especially with Purdue a couple of weeks ago as well. I only squeaking that one off by 3 points, and they should have been a much inferior opponent. And I just think Michigan is on a roll right now, and I like them in this game at home.
Yeah. Michigan,
what about your
three straight shutouts. Yeah, Michigan, 3 straight shutouts. I mean, playing phenomenal defense. And you got to remember that Michigan State's been beating up on Michigan these past couple of years. This game in Ann Arbor are one of the two games they scheduled this year. Of course, the other is Ohio State. I take Michigan. I take Michigan by at least 10.
Wow.
And typical Jim Harbaugh team, too. They're playing great on special teams, too. You got to give them credit for that, too.
Just let you guys know, San Francisco said.
You heard that.
Funny. Yeah, San Francisco did send something to Jim Harbaugh apologizing. Maybe they'll come back. I'm just joking. All right, we got number 8 Florida, number 6 LSU. Rob's team. I think with the recent happenings at Florida with their quarterback getting suspended for the year, I think that's going to take something out of Florida. They've been playing well. Rob, I think you're catching them right at a good time. I think LSU is going to pull this out. It is at LSU, obviously. But I think it would be a little bit more different if the quarterback didn't get suspended. So they're kind of reeling. I'm not sure if they're going to circle the wagons, but that's kind of my thoughts on this game. What are your thoughts on this, Rob Ford?
Yeah, I liked LSU even prior to the quarterback being suspended, but I thought the game would be very close. I thought it could be a 3-7 point win for LSU. But, you know, it's Saturday night in Tiger Stadium, Death Valley. And, you know, as Les Miles said it best, visiting teams' dreams come to die on Saturday night in Baton Rouge. And so, I mean, I got to go with LSU. I thought the game would have been a lot closer with Will Grier, quarterback from Florida. And you got to give them a lot of credit for the way they turned this program around. I didn't think it was going to be this quickly for Jim McElwain at Florida. But they got a lot of talent on that team, Florida does. Got a lot of speed. And I still think it's not going to be a blowout, but I think I'm thinking about a 10-point victory for LSU.
What a difference a coach makes for Florida. JQ, what are your thoughts about this, sir?
And I agree with that. And if the Florida quarterback has not gotten suspended, I might have been tempted to go with Florida only because of the fact that they have that tremendous speed that you talk about, and they have a absolute lockdown secondary that I don't think LSU has seen and will give those good receivers to LSU a lot of problems, which would keep it a closer game in Death Valley. But in Death Valley with a backup quarterback with a week to get ready to come into LSU, going to Baton Rouge, it's LSU. I still think it's a closer game. I think it's a 7-point game, but I think LSU still comes out on top.
Good call. Hey, let's get a quick little check into the Major League Baseball postseason update. It's happening pretty quickly. Rob, you can give us a quick update as far as that. I'll let you ask on the CJ too if you want to, but go ahead, sir.
Well, as many of you all just saw, the Dodgers just forced a game 5 for a 3-1 victory over the Mets. Kershaw gets a big-time playoff victory, which he's been lacking for most of his postseason career. Came through tonight with a big win. So we got three out of the four series here in division rounds is going game five. So that's pretty exciting. Obviously, the Cubs got a big win, eliminating the Cardinals today. So the city of Chicago is going berserk right now. The Cubs, this is the first time they've won a playoff series on their home field in their history. As old as the Cubs are, that's pretty remarkable. First time they've gone to the championship series since 2003. And then we got a couple of big game fives on tomorrow. Blue Jays, of course, and the Rangers, Astros, and the Royals. Who you like, JQ?
I don't like the Texas governor with his crazy tweet, and he basically jinxed the Astros and the Rangers. But I like the Blue Jays because I just like that lineup and their ability just to pound. And this is just a homerism. Cueto's on Kansas City. I'm rooting for Kansas City. I like when the Midwestern teams do well. So I'm going to go with Kansas City. I'm going to go with Toronto. Love the fact that the Cubs beat the Cardinals. Absolutely love it. And that Dodger series, yeah, that Mets Dodger series is everything that I thought it would be when we talked about it like a week ago. So you're probably going to get Greinke versus Syndergaard, I believe, and that's another 1-0 game waiting to happen. So I know the MLB officials are doing cartwheels because they are getting a great start to this wild card round, this divisional round.
Absolutely.
Really quickly, guys, you ever watch Back to the Future? And have you been following this with the Cubs?
Yeah.
Because there is a line in there. The guy said, you know, the Cubs are going to win the series in 2015. That actually happened based on the movie. That would be sick. So just a little FYI. I don't know if you saw that, Rob. That's one of those things where the movie came out like in the 80s, whatever, or 90s, whatever. And they're like, the Cubs won the World Series in 2015. What was that? What was that, JQ?
Yeah, no, I saw that, and there was some other things that were in the movie that we have now, and it was kind of eerie.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, man, this would be a little too close for comfort.
Yeah, but if that actually comes to fruition, man, that's just amazing. But yeah, anyway, I just wanted to point that out to you because that's been, you know, I've been pulling for the Cubs. If that actually pulls out, man, that's gonna be amazing. But hey, Rob, we got about 3 minutes and 40 something seconds. Go ahead and do our fantasy shoutouts. We'll get ready to set up OT portion right thereafter, sir.
All right, league number one, the biggest win of the week, Eagles Chick for Life out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. She beat Lions King 135.40 to 66.80. Had the biggest win of the week. Still in first place, Bristol Bombers, Aaron out of Bristol, Connecticut at 5-0 in league number one. League number two, the biggest win of the week, Sean Black and Gold Patrol out of Atlanta, 157.64. To the EP 49ers, 90.56. And actually moved into first place. Yours truly, myself, the Dome Patrol at 4-1, moved into first place in league number two. League number three, the biggest win, the Kings team, 130 out of New Orleans, over 70.60 over Pelican Fly. And still in first place, Aaron winning, 5-0 from Bristol, Connecticut. So there's your fantasy shout-outs for the week. Let's continue to have some fun going into week six.
Man, I'm about tired of somebody going crazy on me. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of playing somebody every week and they go for 190 points. It's starting to make me really, really upset. I'm just going to put that out there.
Hold on. Is that in all your leagues? Is that in all the leagues, though, JQ? Or
it's just the 1-4. If you look at the points scored against, I'm beating everybody by like 80 points because people are just going ignorant when they play me, and I can't call it. they're going down. So please, can I get a reversal? Thank you, I appreciate that.
We got about 60 seconds. Go ahead and set it up, guys, as we get ready for the OT portion. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, join us on next Tuesday night. We'll be coming to you live again, the same channel, same link, 11 p.m. Eastern. Obviously, talking Major League Baseball playoffs, talking NFL, talking college football. We're getting ready for the NBA season, so there's a lot happening sports world, so you don't want to miss our show on next week. You don't want to miss our OT portion, too. Right after this show, you'll be able to click on the same link on tomorrow. We still got some NFL we're going to get into in our OT portion, so you don't want to miss that coverage as well. Click on the same link, and you'll be able to hear that OT portion on tomorrow. And once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We'll keep you updated on what's happening in the sports world.
JQ.
stay classy, San Diego, and pray for that fantasy team so we can stop getting destroyed every week. It's disheartening.
I love it. I love it. Texas, we are officially in the OC portion, fellas. We got to keep it moving here. I guess we're going to have one more topic about baseball. And so right now, guys, Don Mattingly, his Dodgers, they're surviving here. But if they don't survive, should he be on the chopping block? Rob Ford, tell me your thoughts about this.
I personally don't think so. I mean, I know, you know, they've been having quick exits out of the playoffs here, but they're still getting to the playoffs, and obviously they got a chance to pull out this series on Thursday. And, you know, and they got one of the best pitching staffs in the league. And so maybe because it's the Yankee in me that's pulling for him a little bit. And but, you know, so but I don't think he should be on the chopping block. That's just my personal opinion.
JQ?
Well, I think Clayton Kershaw's implosions in these past years, as opposed to the game tonight, is what's kept him in it. Because, he, you know, when you have Kershaw and he's a Cy Young Award winner and he goes out there and he gets destroyed, I mean, there's not a whole lot that can happen for you because you're anticipating him starting two games in the series, and when he can't get it done and you get two losses, that's hard to come back from. So he's going to get a bit of a reprieve. But the problem I have with Don Mattingly right now is what's happening with Yasiel Puig. If you remember when Puig came into the league, what he did for that Dodgers team, I believe they went like 40-2 or something ridiculous over a span of games where they just were unbeatable. And they've lost all that magic. And I've read reports about it. There's some disharmony in the clubhouse with some of the teammates in Puig. And I need my manager to be able to, at some point, say the players can't police this themselves. I've got to step in here and, you know, show them the rings and know I'm Don Mattingly. And I know what's best. Listen to me and lead them out of that. And that's the only piece of it I have a problem with him with recently. But he's got to get his best pitchers to pitch. And Greinke's doing it, and Kershaw came up big tonight. So he's got to have Greinke do it big again tomorrow. But when your starters don't live up to the expectations that they should, then that's not really a whole lot you can put on the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, JQ, for writing a Wikipedia page about that. So we're keeping moving here. and we'll talk about the top five. I'm just messing with you, sir. The top five NFL teams, guys. So this is a pretty good gauge as far as the season. The first quarter is kind of wrapping up here. And, let's kind of kick it off. Rob, before give me your top teams that you have currently so far. Power rankings.
All right, I'm going to start off with the New England Patriots still at number one. They're still just destroying just pretty much everyone that's been on their schedule thus far. Pretty impressive. I'm going to go with the Bengals, actually, at number two. I got to go with them. I think they're getting it done on both sides of the ball. They're winning some games in the clutch. So I got to go with the Bengals at number two. The Packers, one thing that's starting to be a little concerning with me is some of the injuries that they're starting to get, but I still have them at number three. They still have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and he's probably still the most entertaining player to watch in the game right now. And they're still playing solidly on defense, even with him excelling at the QB position. So I have them at the number three position. And the number four position, you know, as much as it pains me to say it, you know, I'm still objective here. That's my job. I got the Falcons at number four, winning some games also in the fourth quarter and, you know, coming from behind to win, coming up big, even when they this past weekend had to overcome a couple of turnovers by Matt Ryan, and they still pulled the game out. So I got the Falcons at the number four position. Number five, I got the Denver Broncos. Starting to be a little concerned about Peyton Manning, but their defense is still playing phenomenal. And even the last couple of weeks prior, Derek Carr was, you know, on fire a little bit. Denver kind of slowed them down a little bit, even though Oakland slowed down their offense. I still have the Broncos at number five. Just on the outside looking in, they got Arizona and Carolina as two teams knocking on the door.
I'm not really sure what to think about this moment. Is like, you know, I'm just in a state of shock here. But JQ, your top five as well, if you will.
So the same top five, just a slightly different order. New England at number one because, like I said, Tom Brady is in pure FU mode right now, and they're just finding a way to get it done. I'm going to go with Green Bay at two. I just think they are a complete team, and they have, you know, if not the best quarterback, the second best quarterback by a hair in Aaron Rodgers, and that defense has been playing fantastic. And, you know, they're picking James Jones off the street, and he's still scoring touchdowns. I like the Lacy Starks combo in the backfield. He's making the other Rodgers and tight end get more involved over the middle, which they really haven't had since, you know, Jermichael Finley was there. So I'm going to go Green Bay number two. I'm going to go with my Bengals number three. Those are games that they normally find a way to lose, and they fold, especially when he got down 24-7 against a quality team. So Andy showed me a lot, and that defense showed me a lot by stepping up and containing Russell Wilson and finding a way to get that game in the win column. So got to give Cincinnati credit for that, put them at three. Number four, I'm going to go with the Falcons as well, finding ways to win games that they normally lose. You know, they survived two Matt Ryan field goal misses when he's normally automatic. They survived Matt Ryan not playing his best game. And Julio being less than 100%, that's a gritty victory by that team, and they don't normally win those kind of games. And number five, I'm going to go with the Broncos. A little disappointed with the offense, but that defense is stepping up in an amazing way. Chris Harris and Talib on the corners, and DeMarcus Ware, hopefully he comes back soon for the Broncos, and Von Miller just terrorizing the quarterback. Those are just the top five teams to me. And on the outside, looking in Carolina, and they just flipped a little bit this week because they didn't play.
Hey, man, you guys start giving me credit. I think I know your Bengals team better than you do.
Hey, man, that's the first time they've done that in years.
Yeah, I picked them in the preseason. We're 11-5. You said 9-7. I picked them to win last week. You picked the Seahawks.
Keep picking them for me.
Oh, well, the season not over yet, so we have to see if my 11-5 prediction holds.
Yeah.
Right now, they got a chance to be better than that.
Yeah, and 6-5 gets it down from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
Fellas, I just don't know what to say, man. I don't know whether to cry, man. This is a beautiful day. I'd like to thank my family. I want to thank my friends. Thank everyone who made this moment possible.
Let's get on with the show, my man.
I didn't even have to do anything, man. Can I finish? Can I finish, Rob? Can I finish? Yeah, everyone had their moment. Everybody had their moment. No, similar. I'm going to go similar with you guys, man, on the top five teams and stuff like that. So pretty similar orders, man. Like I said, right now, I don't have to – you know, talk as much, man. Just proud of my team and good win. And we'll see. It's going to be a tough game on Thursday, no matter what the record is. One host will be happy. One host will be mad.
We'll try
to contain it. We'll see. I'm not going to talk any junk just yet. Like Robert be posting stuff on his page. All right, let's keep it moving here. Let's see. What do I have here? Saved by the Bell. Steelers beat the Chargers on the last play the game, man. What a fantastic fit. Well, if you're one team, what are your thoughts on this, Rob?
Well, I mean, very gutsy call by Mike Tomlin, first of all, and you know, Le'Veon Bell. I mean, he almost got stopped on that play too, and obviously he did get in. Very gutsy call. You see, Tomlin made some gutsy calls a few weeks ago, and you know, he bit him in the rear end, and obviously this one it kind of worked out. And, you know, really showing confidence in his team. I think it could be a confidence builder going forward for the Steelers with these calls that Tomlin and they're calling as well. So, obviously, that's a big win for them on the road last night against, you know, not a great Chargers team, but a decent team.
JQ.
It's all right because I'm saved by the Bell. You know, y'all know that show. We got to watch it every Saturday
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, we do. We do know that. I love it.
But, yeah, I mean, very gutsy. But I think a piece of that is playing for overtime. And I think it's also a vote of non-confidence in Michael Vick to beat the Chargers on the road in overtime. So I think that factored into the decision to go for the win, kind of like an underdog college team going for two when they're playing a favorite team, you know, on the road. But you got to give him credit because he got in the end zone. And, again, given what the Bengals are doing in that division, that's a win that they have to have. And it's also a conference win. So when you're sitting there at 2-3 and 3-2 with other of those teams and you guys kind of finish with the same record, that conference record comes in as a big tiebreaker. And being the Chargers is a plus in the Steelers column if it comes down to that.
Good call. Shitterman, we got about 5 minutes here. Let's keep this moving here. Let's talk about another kind of a sad situation in that the Chiefs, they're going to lose Jamaal Charles for the season. Just kind of a tough deal. I know he's battling back, and then he gets this second injury, pretty major one. So, Rob, what do you think about this? I'm not sure if Jamaal Charles, I mean, he's still a young guy, but what does this mean for the future of the Chiefs right now, current state?
Well, this is the second major knee injury he's had in his career. Obviously, that's pretty tough, you know, and he's 29 years old. So, he was having a pretty good season thus far. And, you know, it kind of hurts for me more on a personal level. I think one of our leagues, I drafted him with the number one pick, but obviously I got to get some other players to step up and keep winning. And but, you know, obviously you wish the best to him. Hopefully he recovers from him. Hopefully he still has something left in the tank. When he comes back, he will be back in time for training camp based on the reports thus far. So, obviously, it's going to be a running back by committee approach going forward for the Chiefs. Now Davis, a year or two ago, stepped up and, you know, played well. And then you got the kid West. So the two of them are going to play running back by committee. They did bring in Pierre Thomas for a workout today. Not sure if they're interested in signing him or not, so we'll have to stay tuned on that front.
JQ.
Yeah, he's become the Derrick Rose of the NFL, and I hate that for him. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, and that's part of the reason why I never draft Jamaal Charles, because, I mean, he's got all the talent, but he just can't stay healthy, and I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the Chiefs. That's just a tough blow. You know, now Charles, I think now is basically just a third down back, pretty much, and a returner. But Andy Reid is really high on the kid West, saying that he has a lot of the same capabilities that Charles has, and that's a lot of high praise to get from the head coach. So they're going to take a small step back and maybe a big step depending on how the young guy steps in, but I hate that for Jamaal Charles.
Rob, I want to talk about these predictions real quick. Do you want to make a quick point about Seahawks having the second most blown fourth quarter lead since 2012 real quick?
Well, obviously, the most recent one was this past Sunday against the Bengals, and the one that kind of everyone thinks about is the Super Bowl. But just how many, I mean, there could be a few more for a few blown calls. They could have easily lost that game to the Lions the week before. And then you think about that game against the Packers on Monday night. So it could even be a few more that they blew. But, you know, as quiet as a cap, they have blown quite a few leads in the fourth quarter the last few years.
2 minutes. Rob ended up pretty strong. Oh, go ahead, JK. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir. All you.
I was going to say real quickly, that's what happens when everybody starts to get paid. You start to lose some of those integral pieces on those lines because you can't pay everybody, mm-hmm. and then the stars get tired and you blow fourth quarter leads.
Yeah, good call, man. Good call. All right, we got, like I said, 2 minutes, guys. Wrap this thing up. Is there anything you want to point out in this in the last couple of topics? Rob, I'm leaving it on you. Get ready, JQ, to get ready to do that and wrap up the show. Go ahead, Rob. Briefly, you got about like 7 minutes to knock this
we
up.
We can kind of go over some of these predictions really quick.
Better do it fast. You got a short time set.
Okay. Throw the games out there.
Is Arizona at Pittsburgh?
I'm going to go Arizona on the road.
Take you.
Pittsburgh.
Cincinnati at Buffalo.
I'm going Cincinnati on the road. Buffalo may have an injured quarterback here.
JQ.
Exactly. Cincinnati.
Love it. New England at Indianapolis.
I like New England. I'm picking all three road teams.
New England.
JQ. Falcons at Saints. JQ.
Oh. Dirty Birds.
Rob.
That wasn't on the list, but Falcons.
Oh,
I just got Rob. A lot of love, man. Hey, good job, man. I love it. Go ahead and end the show, JQ, before we get ready, guys. What a great show. Thank you. JQ,
absolutely.
End it.
Thank you. Thank you guys for downloading the podcast and listening to the OT portion. On behalf of my partners in the crime, Andre and Rob, I'm JQ. We appreciate all the love and support. And catch us next week. I believe we're coming back next week on Tuesday. Wrap up another week of the NFL and give you some more updates on these baseball playoffs. Good night. Love you. Awesome show, fellas.
Rob.
Good night, people. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We got more for you coming next Tuesday. Don't miss it.
Retweet.
Good night, America. We got you, America, too. We'll keep it moving here. Thank you for another great episode of Talking Shorts. Talking Sports in 12 Man Fellas.
I'm picking the Falcons, but I'm a hoot at for life. I'm sticking with it.
We know. You know you are. We know you are, Rob.
That's that reverse jinx.
You know, he didn't want to say it. He didn't want to say it either. He was like,
no,
he did.
It's tactical.